something ministry-wise that we will be doing. The center of our worship and our faith, the apex that we're moving to, is this wonderful table where we come. It looks back to the finished work of Jesus Christ. It looks forward to the heavenly banquet that we'll celebrate eternally. We invite all Christians to come to this table, though we know all cannot for whatever reason, even though that love our Lord and Savior with sincerity and truth, are not always able to do it. So we've got some ways in which we're going to be taking the table there. We're going to bring it out in stages. One is, and we talked about this about 2 years ago, and it's only got put on the back burner, but it's on the front burner now, is we're going to really look more intentionally at home and nursing home communion, where hosts that's been consecrated at the table will be taken to those that aren't physically able to be here. Also, we have this wonderful cross that will be brought out. That'll be, some of you know the tradition where you come forward and above your tithes and offerings, if you want to leave a little change that goes directly toward missions, you can do that at the altar. We'll have a little cross that is like a little piggy bank that we can do that, and that will go to help the needy. And the one that we're rolling out today, and you may see them up here, and it's a prayer card. And when you come up, you're not only coming alone. You may be coming with someone else's heart or concern. You may, when you're up here having prayers for yourself, you may remember someone else that you're lifting up in prayer. These are little cards that you can take and send to the person that you prayed for and let them know that you offer a prayer for them during communion. So those will be here, and please avail yourself to those. And really, as we come forward, let's be present of the fact that it's just not me and Jesus coming to meet at the table, but the body of Christ, the entirety of the body of Christ, is coming to meet here. And we'll share those blessings. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask now that your Holy Spirit would illuminate your word, open our hearts and minds to see your word, and keep mine of them. May they be efficient. May, like John the Baptist, they not be the center, but simply a voice that points to the true word. We ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen. I have always been a fan of comedians. I think comedians are brilliant people. They have a way of seeing things and turning things and saying things that I just think they're brilliant. But sometimes even brilliant people get things wrong. And one comedian said something that I'm going to suggest to you is wrong. Groucho Marx said, "I wouldn't want to be a member of a country club that would let me be a member." In other words, what he was saying by that is any country club with standards so low that I could be a member would be a pretty lousy club. If we're honest, we want our club to be prestigious. If we want anyone to know we're a member of a club, we want to know that the entry standards were high, that it's hard to get in, that we want people to know we're a member of an exclusive club. We want a club that we can be proud of that we belong. And some people want a church like that. And in our text today, we see, and thanks be to God, Jesus doesn't want a church like that. Jesus wants a different type of church. We hear today about the type of church, the type of kingdom that makes Jesus happy. If you look with me to Luke 15, these parables are famous, but not as famous as the third one, the prodigal son, that we'll pick up later in the liturgical year. But in these two parables, we look at what makes Jesus happy. But before we get there, let me set the stage. He tells us, Luke does, that there are two groups that are going to be hearing these parables. The first, if you look in verse 1, are the tax collectors and the sinners. They are the ones that they knew they were ranked. sinners. They knew that they had no place in the kingdom of God. They knew, as Paul confessed and what Barry read, these people knew they were the worst sinners. And the thing about it, everybody else knew that too. So the first class are these tax collectors and sinners. Let's call them the down and outers. The ones that you just sort of don't want to be around. You want to walk the other way because they just smell sin. But then there's another group. They're the Pharisees and the scribes. They don't think they're sinners. They think they're pretty good. They think they've lived fairly well, at least a lot better than most people. They may even say that their hearts are completely pure. They are not sinners. If you don't believe them, just ask them. And they'll tell you, we don't sin. Let's call the Pharisees and the scribes the up and outers. So we have two groups, the down and outers, the sinners that know they're sinners, and the up and outers, the ones that think they have it pretty much together. But look what they do when they, as Luke words it. The ones that are the down and outers, that are terrible sinners and know it, what do? They draw near to Jesus and listen to Him and hear Him. This is a motif that Luke uses in his gospel of being those that are open to the truth, those that are repentant, of Christians, those that are willing to hear. The sinners are willing to hear. But look what the Pharisees and the scribes do. They grumble. They grumble. See, and maybe this is just in Scripture, or maybe you've seen this in life. Have you ever found that the ones who think they're doing life right aren't open to hear? That maybe they're not. And have you ever seen that the ones that think they are already in this prestigious club, they get irritated when people on a lower standard might come in? In other words, we hate it, don't we, when our enemies repent? We don't like it when people we don't like repent. The greatest example of that in the Old Testament, if you doubt that what I'm saying is true, is Nineveh, or Jonah. Jonah hated the Ninevites. He was grateful that when they died, they were going to split hell wide open. They didn't like him. He didn't want to spend eternity with them. So when God told them to go and to preach to your enemies that they too might come into this kingdom, he ran the other way. And you say, well, how did they do that? Well, let me tell you what I've been asked many times over the last 35 years of pastoring. And I always try to give a biblical answer. And when I do, people seem to get upset at my answer. And this question has often been asked of me, and you might get upset. I've been asked, Pastor, if in the few minutes before he died, if Adolf Hitler would have turned to Jesus Christ, repented of his sins, and asked Christ to forgive him and confess Christ as Jesus, as Christ and Lord, would he be in heaven? And the biblical answer is yes. And we hate it, don't we? We hate it. It irks us to think that such rank sinners could get into our club. So Jesus, against all of us, tells these two parables. And they have some similarities, but they have some differences. The sheep and the coin. Let's look at it. The sheep know they're lost. The sheep know they're lost. But if you look at the behavior of sheep, they can't get found. If you read stories of shepherds, what sheep will do when they know they're lost is they'll get on in a very small package and they'll just cry. They'll bleed out because they know they're lost, but they don't know how to get found. The coin, on the other hand, the coin doesn't even know he's lost. Coin is unaware that he's lost. And I think in today's world, we have both. We have people that know something is amiss. They're hungry, but they don't know for what. They're hurting, but they don't know how to get found. And then we also have people that are just going on their merry way, thinking everything is fine. but they're lost. The other distinction is the sheep became lost because he strayed away. The coin was lost because someone else made a mistake. And we have people like that. We have difficulties in our past that when we look in the mirror, we know no one is at fault for it but us. We also know that sometimes we are the recipient of other people's failures, both of which hurt. All of these hurt, and we're lost, and we're lonely. Besides comedians, I think musicians are pretty brilliant, too, those that write their own music. When I was 13, there was a song that I think even better, not better than, but almost as good as Paul does in Romans 7, captures the real essence of the hurt and the loneliness that those of us who are lost might experience. I was 13. The songwriter was Janice Ian. And you may know the song. The song is called 17. And it goes like this. I learned the truth at 17, that love was meant for beauty queens and high school girls with clear skin smiles who married young and then retired. The Valentines I never knew, the Friday night charades of youth, were spent on one more beautiful. At 17, I learned the truth. And those of us with ravaged faces, lacking in the social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone, who called to say, come dance with me, and murmured vague obscenities, it isn't all it seems at 17. Now, more for some of us guys who can relate to this. When choosing sides for basketball, it was long ago and far away. The world was younger than today, and dreams were all they gave for free to ugly duckling girls like me. We all play the game, and when we dare to cheat ourselves at solitaire, inventing lovers on the phone, repenting other lives unknown, they call and say, come dance with me, at ugly girls like me. That sounds awfully depressing. But I think she captures where we hurt and where we long. And we're like the sheep and we know we need someone to let us be in their club. But we also know we don't measure up. But aren't you grateful that as the Pharisees in their complaint, they got it right. Look at the end of verse 2. They spoke the truth even though it drove them crazy. Even though they didn't like the truth, they understood the truth when they said, this man receives sinners. Aren't you grateful that the God that we follow, he receives sinners. And not just receives us, he goes and looks for us. He leaves the 99 behind. He leaves the 9 behind. He goes and looks for us. And what's even more beautiful, he doesn't go looking so that he can berate us or chide us or punish us or put us on probation. He goes and brings us back into the fold to incorporate us into the body of church. And that makes him happy. And then he sings. All of heaven sings and rejoices. What do you think they sing? Will you allow me to, can I read another song? When I was a teenager, and I was, around 16 or 17, and I was addicted to this one TV show. And I thought, you know, this opening, I want a church that's like this show. And you may know what show I'm talking about. And it opened this way with this song. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? And think about this. Not as a bar in Boston, but as a church of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see that our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Brothers and sisters, we come. And when we come together, we not only share the same name, but at the very beginning of our worship, what do? We confess that we are all in need of God's grace. We come on equal ground. And we come. And when we come together, and when we listen and hear and love one another, and we bring each other through the power of the Holy Spirit to repentance, so a more faithful expression of God's discipleship in our midst, they rejoice in heaven. It makes Jesus happy. And when Jesus is happy, we're all eternally happy in His holy name that we share. Amen. Would you stand with me and let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed? Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in Jesus,
God the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried.
The third day He rose from the dead,
He ascended into heaven,
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift it up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
And right to give our thanks and praise.
Honor and glory be to you, Lord God, King of the ages. Because you created the world and called the people, yet when your people became skilled in doing evil and forgot how to do good, you displayed the utmost patience and your grace overflowed with love. When your sheep wandered away from their sheepfold, you searched high and low. And in Jesus you came among your people to bring them home to you. Just so when we wander away, you come to us in the crucified and risen Jesus and place us on your shoulders and rejoice to bring us home. And so we enter the joy in the presence of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, to the man in Christ. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
God of grace, in Christ you came into the world to save sinners, to welcome them, and to eat with them. You spread a table in our sight and invite us to join you in glory. Now send down your Holy Spirit that your people who have strayed like lost sheep may dwell in the paths of righteousness, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Searching and yearning God, in Christ you entered the wilderness and swept the dark corners of our world. Because you hate nothing you have made and long to draw us back to your heart. Find those who are lost, reach any who have strayed. Pursue all who seem determined to wander further and further from your fold. Heal your earth where the fruitful land is waste and void, where the mountains are quaking and the birds of the air have fled. Bring home hope, transformation, and deliverance. Immortal, invisible Father, redeem your creation in the power of your Spirit, and draw all things through the free gift of your Son into the glory of your presence.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the Lord's table. We invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come home. He calls you to dine with him. In Luke's gospel, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, the righteous people, they really hated the fact. Beyond the teachings that Jesus would teach or the miracles that he would perform, it really got under their skin that the people they tried so hard to stay away from, Jesus loved to dine with. When Nicodemus, who knew that if he even touched a Jew, they would be defiled, so he climbed into a tree. It was also because he was short. Jesus looked at him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I want to dine with you." In the Jewish tradition, to sit at table with one was an act of intimacy. You were one. We sometimes say that when we say we've broken bread together. They've sat under my table. They've been under my roof. We have somewhat of that, but for the Jewish tradition, you would not dare to share table with one that you considered unclean. And Jesus Christ would look to all of us and say, through the finished work, the work of the Holy Spirit drawing you, I invite all of you to come. And to not only dine with me, but I give you myself as true bread, as true blood. And so all those who love our Lord and Savior with sincerity and truth are invited to come to partake. Come and have prayer for yourself or others at the communion rails. Betsy will be over at the right hand if you need prayer. She will join you. Come and dine with the very Lamb of God who offers himself to you.